And we are back. We are joined this time by Ed Doyle. And Ed is here because he likes to take off and land in very short distances. That is correct. And Ed is part of the demonstration that will be going on. It's called the Valdez demonstration, but really short takeoff and landing. And that'll be taking place tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday night, correct?
And Thursday night. Excuse me, not Wednesday night. It'll be on Thursday.
Okay.
There'll be half of us fly this evening at 5:40, which is the last feature of the air show this afternoon. And the other half will fly on Tuesday at, I believe, at 5:40 also, okay, which would, again, be the last part of the air show. But we're all excited to do this. A lot of people probably haven't heard or probably possibly don't know what STOL even stands for. It's kind of new to Oshkosh here. But STOL is short takeoff and landing. That's STOL. This actually originated in Alaska years ago. A lot of the Alaska true bush pilots got together, and they always had a competitive spirit to them and would go out and see who could take off the shortest, and it was just kind of a fun thing. This actually originated in Gulkana, Alaska. And we have one of the original Gulkana competitors here that won Gulkana either 6 or 7 years in a row. Mr. Jerry Burr, this is his white airplane down in front of us here. After several years at Gulkana, the little town of Valdez, Alaska, decided that they wanted in on the action, and the STOL competition changed from Gulkana over to Valdez, and that's where the name Valdez has originated.
Sure.
So for years, all of the lower 48 people, if they had any interest, we had to fly 4,000 miles from the Midwest to get to Valdez, Alaska, mm-hmm, to go up and compete in two circuits around the Valdez airport.
Yeah.
So that's a long haul for two circuits around the airport. So thank goodness the EAA got the idea that this might be some type of an addition to AirVenture.
Yes.
So last year was our first year that up here at AirVenture to kind of show off our stuff, to speak of the this is not competition. These are demonstrations.
Okay. So, and really, last year, I think most of us have seen the YouTube videos about the contest up in Valdez, and you had kind of an idea of what it was going to look like. But I know from the reaction from everybody up here on the announcer stand, and we're talking about people who have been in aviation for years and years and years, to see the first takeoff was amazing, and the first landings, and how short the takeoff roll and landing roll was, everybody up here was laughing and having a great time and couldn't believe what they were seeing and couldn't wait for the next person to either take off or land. So to have this here again, I think it's really opened up people's eyes to exactly how much fun it is, or at least it looks like it's a lot of fun, but also that it's really something that applies to flying, I mean, and building your pilot skills.
It absolutely does. And this group of people, our airplanes aren't a whole lot different than most of the airplanes up and down the line here in the vintage aircraft. You know, we've tricked them up this way and that way a little bit. But everybody that's interested in any type of short landing and takeoff competition, it doesn't need to be competition. You need to learn how to go land in the neighbor's pasture or on the sandbar at your local river. And this is something that the average pilot can go out and continue to improve his skills, and there's no big secrets to what we do, other than that we've done it for most of us have done it for quite a long time and enjoy it, and it's become like a big family. And
sure,
thank goodness for EAA to recognize this. My greatest compliments are to Brady Lane, the EAA photojournalist, mm-hmm, that you folks sent up to Valdez in 2010. He did a terrific job of really showing and explaining what STOL competition was all about, and thank goodness it's caught on here now, and we're all so fortunate and elated to be here to show off our skills to the average public that may not have seen STOL competition before, STOL demonstrations,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
And we're talking with Ed Doyle, and he is here. He'll be participating in the demonstration this week. He is also the 2011 champion from Valdez. So congratulations!
Thank you.
And what was the winning measurements for you?
I had a 42-foot takeoff and a 35-foot landing. And this is after the line. You can't touch before the line.
Right.
So this is only an airplane and a half length after the line to be totally stopped, and they measure from the line to your front wheels.
Yeah. So imagine those distances. Yeah, I mean, you can imagine 42 feet. And that, you know, when you look at it, you think, well, okay, that's not too bad. But when you actually see it, when you see the airplane perform and actually make that kind of a landing or takeoff, it is just a sight to be seen.
Yeah. I will have to make the excuse for us here at Oshkosh. The conditions at Valdez are different than here. We usually have a little breeze on our nose. It doesn't sound like that will happen today. And also the temperature is a lot cooler. So, you know, when it gets up in 80 degrees and we have a crosswind, we might not be quite as great today. But we'll go out and have fun and hopefully get the crowd participating and enjoy seeing what we'll do.
So you're under promising and you're going to overperform, right?
Well, I hope that's the way it works, Steve.
That's good. And you mentioned, you know, learning this short takeoff and landing skills. I mean, we all learn relatively short takeoff and landing procedures in private pilot training. So is this something that you just encourage folks to go out and just sort of do at their local airport, or is it something you really think an instructor or experienced bush pilot can do? Or
no, I think most all of us that are here this week at Oshkosh have basically learned on our own. I don't know as we've ever had any specific training. It's just something that you try to get into, land in a little bit shorter places, a little shorter distances all the time, and get the feel for your own specific airplane. And it doesn't need to be a hot rod Super Cub or a tricked out 180. You know, you can. A lot of people do this in a 172 or 150. They learn to gradually get a little bit better and more competent in their, have more confidence in their flying abilities, and you just gradually become a little bit better pilot.
You're very good. What were you here last year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what were your impressions being a part of this from your side of the flight line?
Well, first of all, it's just so fantastic to be a part of EAA and get to go out and on front and center. You know, in our lifetimes, most of us never thought we would have an opportunity like this. So first of all, I think we were, as each individual pilot really thought about it, you know, what an honor to be up here in front of the crowd at Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this.
Good. And do you have a preference between the main runway with the big crowd or the fun flying zone down in Ultralights? A little smaller crowd, but still very enthusiastic.
Well, I'm not sure the crowd was any smaller down there. It's my understanding that it was packed with the biggest crowd that's ever been down to watch anything happen on the grass strip, and we certainly had a lot of fun doing that. We actually like to land on grass a lot better than pavement.
Right.
Our tires are kind of expensive, and pavement chews them up pretty fast, so it's not our favorite landing strip, but we love to be out there doing it.
Good, good. And speaking of those are the big balloon tires, right, that people
yes,
see?
Yes, they're referred to by most people as Tundra tires. Most of them are made by, actually, Alaska Bushwheel,
okay,
which are big balloon tires. We let the air pressure down to 3, 4, 5 pounds so that they're soft and squishy. That makes our landings a little bit easier, where we don't bounce so bad. With more air pressure, we would bounce back up when we land as hard as what most of us do.
Okay.
So low air pressure is one of our secrets to landing.
Great. This doesn't really take a toll on the airframe, though, does it?
No.
Okay.
No.
And the tires, what's the comparative price between what's normally on an airplane and the Tundra tires or Bush tires?
Oh, it's so scary I wouldn't want to repeat it over there. But the... just let me put it this way. It's very expensive. You could probably buy 20 sets of average wheel or average tires on your 150 or 172 for what one pair of these
okay.
cost.
All right. Well, you know, it's aviation. It's all about the equipment, right?
Absolutely.
Where is the most interesting place you've landed?
Oh, I actually had an emergency landing on Kayak Island coming down the coast back from Valdez in 2011. And it was more than just an emergency. I actually sheared the gear off of the airplane, and it tucked up underneath the airplane and saved my propeller and wingtip. But anyway, I had to be rescued by Alaska Search and Rescue from that little adventure.
Okay. Well, what's the second most favorite place you've landed?
Oh, golly, I have so many favorites that I'm not sure I could really pick one out. I specifically remember the very first time I flew into Oshkosh. Mm-hmm. I have never been so puckered up and tight about landing any place in my life as following the railroad tracks, understanding that there could be as many as 14,000 aircraft on the field, and out here I was, this little Kansas farm boy coming in. I'd never been around that many airplanes in my life. So thank goodness my wife was in the back seat and guided me in, and it's so easy, and all the people do such a wonderful job of giving you instructions. It's just easy and great.
Good.
Everybody
good.
Should do it.
Excellent. Yeah, it is. It should be a pilot's bucket list thing to fly here at least once. Yeah,
absolutely.
Go through the NOTAMs, the procedures. It can get a little hairy sometimes, but really the way the air traffic controllers have got things worked out, if you follow their instructions and land on the dot like they say, you're good to go. And that's another reason why you should get in some short takeoff and especially short landing practice.
So doesn't hurt to be able to land on the dot.
Exactly. Ed Doyle, and Ed will be part of the demonstration for the short takeoff and landing tonight. Tonight and tomorrow night toward the end of the air show, about 5:30, 5:40 or so, and then Thursday night down at the ultralight area, the fun flying zone, you'll have a good time down there as well.
Yes.
Great.
That we will.
All right. Glad to have you back again, and we hope you enjoy your week here at Oshkosh.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Right. Thank you, Ed. And that's going to wrap up our show for this morning. From the Stand is made possible by the Commemorative Air Force. The mission of the CAF is education so that generations of Americans will value and support the contributions of military aviation in assuring our nation's freedom. CAF has more than 12,000 members operating 162 vintage aircraft, and it is the world's largest private air force. Find out more at Hangar 57 here on the Boeing Plaza or by visiting the website commemorativeairforce.org. And tomorrow morning, speaking of the Commemorative Air Force, we'll talk with Adam Smith about the airbase that the CAF is building down in the Dallas area. Also, Sherry Carberry from Boeing Commercial Aviation, she's the Vice President of Flight Services, will be here to talk about the future of piloting and also avionics and mechanics. Sean D. Tucker, he'll drop in and share some of his energy with us tomorrow, talking about Young Eagles and some of his mountain climbing expeditions. And we'll also hear from our friends at the Disabled American Veterans, and they have their display here at Air Venture. So that wraps up our show for this morning. I'm Steve Buss. Thank you for joining me. This is From the Stand on EIA Radio.